This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. And I'm really concerned about Willie Cauley-Stein, although I was happy to hear you say he's looking better. You have a guy, a basketball player with a midfoot sprain, which again is kind of an umbrella term that could be a lot of things going on there, and he's going to be out for a whole month before the season starts. Hopefully he's going to be fully healed, because you know that's the type of thing that it's tough to play through. Once the season starts, if it's not fully healed, it's going to be dogging him all year. So
yeah,
fingers
and,
crossed.
And I think that's why the initial timetable, they just said forget it. It's going to be end of October before there's even an update on him. So at that point, that put it, I think, at the 4 to 5 week mark right there. And if the update is he's going to start practicing, well, then maybe he's a week to 2 weeks away at that point. And I think that would be considered a positive. If he was back, let's say, the first, second week in November, I think that would be deemed, at this stage, a good thing.
Do you think Andre Iguodala will come back to haunt the Warriors? NBA rumors Andre Iguodala will choose Lakers or Clippers if bought out. By the way, if he's bought out, he wouldn't actually give up any money.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Thursday,
why would he?
Yeah, Woj and Zach Lowe on the Lowe podcast suggested that Andre Iguodala would end up going to the Lakers or the Clippers. That would be tough to watch.
That would be tough to watch.
For Warriors fans.
Unfortunately, the cost of doing business because of Klay Thompson's injury. And I wonder what the Warriors would have done if they had lost in the finals and Klay Thompson hadn't gotten hurt. And Kevin Durant leaves. I think you'd have a... I wonder if Iguodala would be around, and I kind of think he still would be. I think Iguodala would still be...
Hey, free agent next summer.
Well, you get him back. Full mid-level for...
To your point about making that run at the 2021 championship.
I wouldn't consider that crazy.
He's going to be 36 in January.
Yeah, and he, depending upon how much he plays this year, he might be somebody that, believes he's a... $6 million a year mid-level type player as opposed to a veteran minimum type player. You got the $16 million for this year. You got the $16 million for this year. He's not even going to have to play in Memphis.
Didn't he really, in a lot of ways, establish the culture in Golden State by coming off the bench and agreeing to come off the bench and not making an issue of it? And didn't that set the tone for a lot of the things the Warriors accomplished in their championship years?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it's a great point. And Steve Kerr's willingness to even broach it and sell it to him, I think, is huge. But Iguodala definitely buying into it. And Iguodala buying into it and then being a finals MVP while starting, right? Because
yeah.
He gets inserted back into the
right.
lineup because the Warriors wanted to go small. So, I think that's a great call, actually. I think that did have a big impact on the way...
The way it all came together.
Yeah, it all played out for this team.
Setting priorities for the whole team. This is the way we do it here.
I got to wonder if Iguodala is a little maybe annoyed by the Warriors for shipping him out. Although, again, you could make a case that it's they didn't have a choice. If they had to get some offense. Now, if Klay Thompson had been healthy, I could maybe understand that, but they had to get another body that could score in, and essentially getting D'Angelo Russell meant no more Iguodala.
If you're Iguodala, which of those two teams do you choose? Assuming this is all accurate.
I'd choose the Clippers, less drama. I mean, the Lakers are still going to have the LeBron drama, and they're an older team. The Clippers would feel like the more surefire if you want to win a ring. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I'm sure Iguodala wants to win.
If he is annoyed with the Warriors, that would be a great way to express your annoyance.
To go to
a team that you feel is going to win the championship and then winning the championship.
Well, I mean, how would he not go to a team? How would he not go to one of those teams, right? I mean, that would win it. It makes sense. I mean, LA's LA. you're going to help one of those teams.
I agree with you. The Clippers are the call, assuming that they would want him, and I assume they would.
And yeah. it's less drama. Like you got you're going to have less drama around the Clippers than you would.
Yeah, it's not just LeBron. It's Rondo and the coaching situation there in L.A. with Frank Vogel.
Yeah, Vogel's going to be getting
Jason Kidd kind of lurking in the background. Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, I'd go to the Clippers. The Clippers is the move among those teams. But I wouldn't keep it to L.A. necessarily. I mean, I would consider
Houston.
I would consider Portland. I would consider, if it's just me, now I'm not saying Iguodala would want to go to Portland or Utah or anything like that, but I would consider those teams if it's about helping a team, maybe get over the hump to win a championship. One quick note we want to get out there. It is a baseball note, although this is Warriors this week. John Heyman reporting that the Giants are going to interview Gabe Kapler for their managerial vacancy.
Farhan loves him, right?
You
gonna be all right? You need a moment? Farhan loves him.
That was my Gabe Kapler reaction.
He did a super job in Philly, didn't he?
I think I'm gonna. Yeah. That's not good. That will not. That would not. That would not go over well.
What if Bob Guerin or Gabe Kapler?
I'm sorry.
If it was down to those two, which one? Bob Guerin or Gabe Kapler?
Stephen Vogt, player manager. JD and Whitey, it's Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. I guess right now we should start the show.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I got to tell you, Whitey Gleason, if you had said on Media Day for the Warriors, which was, I'm looking at it not even 2 weeks ago, right, on September 30th, if you had said, JD, what are the chances Marquese Chris makes the Golden State Warriors team? I would have laughed. I wouldn't even have given you an answer. I just would have started laughing.
No chance, huh?
I just would have started laughing, which, again, let's laugh. That is different than my reaction to Gabe Kapler being interviewed by the Giants. That the Gabe Kapler being interviewed by the Giants got this reaction.
Yeah, you look a little green around the gills every time you mention it.
Yeah, we'll let. I think it's so Coase and Herbs are up next. They'll get you covered.
All right. So on the one hand, you have disgust, but with the Marquise making the roster back on Media Day, that would have just been total disbelief, right?
I would have been total disbelief.
Yeah.
Because he looked like a player that just, what does he do well? I don't know. I mean, and very uncomfortable player, and a player that would look lost and then get frustrated, I thought, at the fact that he looked lost, and he'd just, he'd pick up a flagrant foul, or he'd want to fight somebody, or it just didn't look right for Marquese Chris. But he's already flipped that opinion completely right. He's going to be on the team, and the Warriors are going to have to. And look, for those that think the Warriors aren't going to be willing to maneuver some things to keep him around, they've done it before. I mean, they cut Omri Caspi to add Quinn Cook. Like they will. They had, I think, was it Jose Calderon they had signed?
Right.
And then they waived him because they had to sign Matt Barnes because Kevin Durant got hurt and they needed a wing player as opposed to a backup point guard. So they're not afraid to juggle and shuffle and maneuver. And I think they'll do what they have to do if Chris earns his way onto the roster. And I think right now he has earned his way onto the roster.
His rookie year with the Suns, he played all 82 games. He averaged 9.2 points, shot 45%. Little more than four rebounds. He wasn't terrible. He was a little underwhelming, but he was 19. And then from there, the next year, he averaged 7.7 points. He shot 42%. And then last year, 21 years of age, he just had a dreadful, dreadful season, 37%, 4 points per game, playing for the Rockets and the Cavs. The Cavs, he showed a little bit more promise, but it looked like at age 21 that he had just proven that he's just not an NBA player.
And
now he's a different guy.
He looks like a completely different guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that you can see why he was a top 10 pick.
And he was asked about, having something to prove. the other night after the game against Minnesota, and he said flat out, like, I'm out to show everybody that says I don't have a high basketball IQ. Like, I'm out to show it. Like, he basically was saying, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say this. There's basically a lot of people out there think I'm a dumb player, and I'm out to prove that that's not the case at all. And he's looked far from that in his brief stint with the Warriors to this point.
Yeah, that's good general managing, right? When you go out and you acquire a guy like that, and a guy like Alec Burks, and a guy like Lynn Robinson III, and you're hoping maybe a couple, of, maybe one or two of these guys, maybe they actually are going to find it again. And so far, it looks like Marquese Chriss is paying off, and so is Glenn Robinson III, and Alec Burks hasn't had a chance to play much.
And I think Steve Kerr maybe already has tipped his hand a little bit.
Yeah.
Glenn Robinson III goes into that starting lineup game two. Marquese Chriss goes into that starting lineup game two. They didn't get off to a great start. And look, there are some vulnerabilities with that group in terms of scoring, especially when the defensive focus goes to Curry, which will happen in the regular season. And they're going to face maybe the best defensive team in the league at the beginning of the year, although without Paul George, in the Clippers on opening night on the 24th. But that might be the best way to go. Already.
If there's any value in playing preseason games, if there is, then I really don't think the Warriors are going to benefit much from playing the Lakers four times in five games. And maybe it's really more important about what you do in practice. And maybe, you know, the preseason games is just, hey, we're just, you know what, we're trying to make some money here or there. And I get that if it's a Lakers and the Warriors playing each other four times. Yeah, they're going to make some money. But you're playing the same guys four times in five games, you're trying to actually get a few things decided here for the Warriors.
Yeah, I was blown away that everybody was so cool with that preseason setup, actually. And
if you're a veteran team and you pretty much know what's what, yeah, okay, fine, but that's far from the case with this team this year.
Well, and I think you already got a little bit of a feel just in seeing, and this will be the only time we'll see it because they're only playing the Lakers now the rest of the way, and the Lakers are the first game, but you saw just the talent level the Lakers put out there against the talent level the Warriors put out there generally, and the talent level the Warriors put out there versus the talent level that the Timberwolves put out there. And you already saw a little bit of, okay, the Warriors can hang with Team X, and they're going to have a tougher time hanging with Team Y. Like, that was noticeable if you watch the first two games.
How much of what we saw, and as you pointed out, JD, we've seen good Warrior play, we've seen bad Warrior play in two games here. How much of what we've seen, good or bad, is real? How much of it is a mirage? It's difficult to say.
I think it's all been real.
Wow.
I think it's all been real, actually, to this point. More than I'm willing. I mean, Curry still has the capability to go off for 40 and three quarters.
An effortless 40 and three quarters.
Dominate a game. Take over the game.
Mm-hmm. Steffortless, I should say.
And he did it, right? He still has the capability to do that, which I think we all knew he did. But to see it right away, I think that calms some fears down because you know you're going to have a lot of Curry at the beginning of the year, especially. I think you also saw, we've talked a lot about Marquese Chriss and Glenn Robinson III. That's positive. Hey, those guys look like maybe they fit better than McKinney and Spellman did with that starting unit. You like Jordan Poole. The confidence, he looks like a different guy just from summer league.
He gets the pleasant surprise award so far, right?
Big time pleasant surprise. And I don't know totally what Eric Paschal is, but he's something.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I don't know what position and who he's going to play with, but I think the Warriors kind of know he can play with somebody.
He plays smart and he plays hard and he plays with purpose, which, again, getting back to Marquese Chriss, is the biggest difference. You watch him play now and he plays with a purpose. Whereas at times the last couple of years with Phoenix, you could watch him and get the sense that, okay, he just isn't quite sure what he's supposed to do yet, which may have had something to do with the disastrous situation that he was playing under in Phoenix.
Yeah, and look, 510 Chilton Autobody text line, come on, JD. We're only down by five at halftime. Played horrible first quarter in the first game. Don't judge the Warriors by that. It's not the result or the score, necessarily. It's just...
it's how when the Lakers needed a basket, they were able to get one pretty easily.
And it's just that the Warriors looked overmatched in portions of that. And I think there are going to be more stretches this season that just look ugly. Can't make a shot, getting kind of dominated physically. that's going to happen a lot more than has happened the last 5 years. And it doesn't mean you can't win 40, 45 games still. But I think both things are not the specific results, but the way the game's played out. I think both of those, I think the good and the bad both apply.
What do you think they could do about that roster-wise to lessen the chances of that happening? Obviously, you're somewhat limited now. You can't go out and get a whole bunch of new
guys. Go get Giannis.
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's not a. Right. Yeah, you're going to write that one down.
Yeah. Get Giannis.
So I don't really think there's a lot they can do right now.
Up against a hard cap. Yeah.
Up against
you're very limited.
Up against a hard. It's the small incremental upgrades, and you know, look, Marquese Chriss over a guy like Spellman. Marquese Chriss as a value on the roster over a guy like McKinney, those are the small type moves. You know, how do you figure out your three spot? You know, what Alec Burks hasn't been able to play yet. How does he fit in this equation? Do you have enough depth at the three, even though you don't have that one guy that's going to soak up minutes? Do you have enough depth at the three to maybe use McKinney's money on Chriss?
One of the most encouraging things about the win over the Timberwolves to me was how well they played in transition on offense. And, of course, you can't get out and run if you don't rebound. I don't have the numbers, and I'm sure you looked at them and had them available, but you can't get out in transition if you're not rebounding the ball. So even though they appear to be at times challenged size-wise against the Timberwolves, they rebounded well, and their transition offense flowed like these guys have played together for a long time.
That was a really good sign.
Yes.
That was a really good sign. And I think another really good sign was the fact that they're running the same offense. And I think there was, you know, all this conversation about it's got to be pick and roll, it's got to be more ISO, it's got to be this and that. They've seemingly found maybe 8 or 9 players that can run their offense more effectively than maybe even Steve Kerr believed they could coming into the season. And that's where, again, it comes back to Chriss and it comes back to Glenn Robinson and some of the basketball IQ types of things. Like, I think they thought maybe they were going to have to dumb it down a little bit. Not for those players specifically, but just generally because of the players that they had are different.
And we haven't really seen D'Angelo Russell go off yet. It's only been 2 games. But, you know, he's capable of scoring in bunches. As you've pointed out, he can be a little streaky.
And I think
He has big nights, this team is going to be fun to watch.
And to go back to, you know, do you take the first game or the second game? You know, what's the real Warriors or what of it extrapolates out to the regular season? Both.
Well, he was an All-Star last year. He was an Eastern Conference injury replacement All-Star.
He can fill it up.
But he's still an All-Star.
He can fill it up, but yeah. He's going to kind of flail into the lane and barely hit the rim on a floater. And he's going to, you know, have a wide open corner three and it's going to miss badly.
He's going to bury those corner threes.
He's going to bury them too. But my point is both are going to be in play. Like the good and the bad. Like I think everything good you've seen to this point, you can apply. And everything bad you've seen to this point, you can apply. Not the results specifically to a team, just the individual play, I think, as well. All right, let's get to our next guest, the Dial Pad guest line. Lead NBA writer, managing editor, NBCSports.com, at Basketball Talk on Twitter. Kurt Helin joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Kurt, thanks a lot, as always, for joining us. We really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the Warriors you've seen to this point, but we were kind of throwing around some of the early observations as far as trying to fit a lot of new pieces into a different puzzle. And there's going to be times where it looks really ugly, and there's going to be times where it looks like maybe they've got some temporary pieces. What have you kind of made of the Warriors to this point in the time that you have seen them?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's an ongoing experiment, and frankly one that'll go through the first third of the season or so at least, right? I mean, Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell are just going to take time to learn to play together. Curry obviously had the really big game the other night, and turns out he can still shoot the ball. I think we expected that, but I think it's going to be an adjustment for Russell, who had the ball in his hands a lot more in Brooklyn and played a very different role from what he's going to be asked here in some ways. That was my biggest takeaway, that it's just there's a lot of there's a lot of new moving parts, and players just aren't quite in the same. Despite there, I think there's some real continuity with Looney, and obviously whenever Clay comes back and all that. In the short term, there's just a lot to fit together again.
Kurt, do you think other teams, other players at this point are kind of licking their chops at the chance to bring down the once mighty Warriors?
Oh, there's some. I want to put the schadenfreude. There's a certain amount of everybody wants to knock the team that's been the king of the mountain for 5 years. I think that's what part of what makes this season so interesting in the NBA is that for the last 5 years it's been the Warriors, and frankly, you could argue some of LeBron's teams were dominant before that. But there was always there wasn't this kind of parity at the top where, you know, we've got questions about a lot of teams and potential in a lot of teams, but whether you're talking Philadelphia or the Bucks out east or a lot of the Los Angeles teams or Houston or Golden State or whoever you want to throw in there, they've all got questions. And I think that said, everybody's like, yeah, but here's our chance to get the Warriors. Here's our chance to really knock them down a peg. And I think that there's going to be you're still going to get everybody's best shot. They're not at the point yet where teams are like, yeah, it's just the Warriors coming to town.
Kurt Helin joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Kurt, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Give us your Western Conference playoff locks. It can be any number of teams. It could be eight teams. It could be four teams. But give me the teams that you think are a guarantee to make the playoffs as we sit right now with 10 days to go before the season.
Yeah, I keep that number really low, actually, just because the depth in the West and the fact that, frankly, there's just not going to be a lot of gimmies. I mean, you know, Dallas is going to be better. The Kings were, you know, trying to get knock on the door last year. But even Phoenix, which has been counted on as a, hey, we got that, is not anymore, actually. You know, they're not a playoff team, but they're not going to be bad. But I would say locks, Denver, Utah, Lakers, Clippers, and that's about as far as I go.
Ooh, okay.
Well, you know what? No, you know what? That's as far as I go because I'm not Houston, and I guess this is true of all the teams. I'd probably throw Houston in there, but nothing's totally stable. If that makes sense, like every team I've talked about, including the Warriors, like if Anthony Davis tweaks his ankle instead of his thumb this time, but if he tweaks his ankle and he's out for 3 weeks, that changes. Like those handful of wins that they suddenly don't pick, you know, if they don't pick up two or three wins. That's suddenly the difference between the 3 and the 6 seed out here.
Kurt, how high is the ceiling for Utah with Mike Conley now?
I honestly think that they need a lot of things to go, a lot of things to go right. I think they can win it all. I think they're that good because they come with defense. They're going to be locked down. They've got the 2-time defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert, but, I mean, this team just defends top to bottom. And Conley, by the way, blends right in with that. But when you watched him in the playoffs last year, and Kevin, you know, the Kevin Durant, and you guys covered this, I'm sure, the Kevin Durant, Steve Kerr back and forth, where Kerr's like, no, she's right. At a certain point, like, your offensive sets, your offensive systems don't work anymore, and you just need a guy who can go get buckets. They were Donovan Mitchell against the world, and I love Donovan Mitchell, but he's 22, and he's still trying to figure some of that out. Well, now they got Conley, who's as good a pick-and-roll player as there is in the league, and now they've got, and he's running it with Gobert, who sets the best picks and rolls. Bogdanovich can play that role. They've got shooters. You know, they got guys like Ingles who can come off. But I just really like the way that team is built. So, I think a lot of things have to go right for them. I don't have them as a favorite, but I think there's 10-15% chance it breaks for them that way.
I want to give you a group of four teams, the Rockets, the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Blazers. Those were four teams you didn't mention as locks to make it. Of those four teams, which one do you think is most apt to slip out of the top eight?
Wait, which were the four again?
It was the Warriors, Rockets, Spurs, and Blazers. If I said one of those four is out, what would be the most likely in your opinion?
See, my gut says Spurs, and I know I'd be wrong. Like, they're going to make it. We kind of know. I mean, honestly, yeah, I'd probably still say Spurs. I think the Warriors are going to make it. I think the Rockets certainly will make it. I really think all of them. The Spurs are the one. I mean, look, we know what they're going to be. They're going to play good defense. They're not going to beat themselves. And LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan will get them buckets. Like, they're going to be good and solid. But I think if they make it, they're the eighth seed, and they're the one team that, you know, if Sacramento or Dallas or somebody's going to climb over them. I mean, obviously Oklahoma City is going to fall out. We just assume the Lakers get that spot. the other team that could fall out, I think, is them. I know that there's a lot of analytics people kind of down on Portland, but I've been the 3 seed 2 years in a row, and it turned. Damian Lillard's just really good at basketball, guys. Like, I don't think that they're that bad.
All right, I'm going to give you another group of three teams: Sacramento, Dallas, and the Pelicans. What? Which one of those three has the best chance to sneak into the top eight?
I want to say Pelicans because I so badly want to see that happen and see that kind of leap. And by the way, they got veterans, right? Like, it's not – everybody's like, oh, Zion, and Zion's had 55 points in the last 2 years.
Favors and Redick, and yeah.
No, and Drew Holiday. I mean, Drew Holiday is much – well, right there with Mike Conley and the like, most underrated point guards in the league list. And as much as I'd like to have that to happen, I just can't see them making that kind of leap. I'm actually liking Dallas. I like the idea. Porzingis has looked pretty good. We'll see how healthy he stays. Doncic is in better shape and should be better. Rick Carlisle just puts guys in good positions. They're not very deep, but that's a team I think can make a leap up, and I'm not sure about Sacramento. We'll see. I got a feeling. I still think they're good, but I don't know if they're going to keep progressing at the rate they were. Like, I think it might plateau a little. I think what worked for them last year won't work as well.
Kurt Helin with us, lead NBA writer, NBCSports.com. And Kurt, you touched on this, talking about the Pelicans, but Zion, 21-25 in the last two games, but it's only preseason, so how impressed should we be really at this point?
Hey, grain of salt, but 55 points is still 50. But I think we're seeing what he does well, which is the man is just, he's a man-child, right? He just goes to the rim and nobody can stop him, and he gets in there and he's a beast, and they become hard to deal with because Lonzo's a really good passer, especially in space when he can kind of play on instinct a little more. And they've got Drew Holiday, and they've got guy. You know, if everybody collapses, you're going to pay a price with Redick. So I really like the way that team is built. I think he's going to put up really good numbers, but I think we'll see the weaknesses in his game as we move into the season, too. Defensively, he's got to obviously get better. His conditioning is probably going to get better. But more than that, like every big in the league now, He's got to develop a shot. I think, honestly, I think his career trajectory, I mean, and I know, I think he could be better than this, but I think his career trajectory, I can't even say that. I haven't even started drinking yet. it's going to be more like Blake Griffin, where, look, dunked everything, was a beast, was impossible to stop because of his athleticism, but eventually rounded into this all-around player, and hopefully is you know, Zion stays healthier and can do more than that. But I think that the idea of him being more than that's going to take a little time.
How about the Eastern Conference? Because I think you could make a case that Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Boston, all three maybe aren't as good. But the Raptors wound up winning it all last year. So, you know, they're probably a step below those teams, certainly without Kawhi Leonard anymore. How do you rate the Eastern Conference among those top three, or is there somebody else that could maybe sneak in there?
No, I like Indiana too, but I mean, they don't get Victor Oladipo back till roughly Christmas, and does he come back the same player? I mean, does he come back that, you know, all NBA level Victor Oladipo? If he is, then they're kind of in the mix for the three through five. But that said, to me, it's Milwaukee and Philadelphia 1-2. Milwaukee might be the better regular season team. That's just, I mean, Giannis is Giannis, obviously, but just the way they space the four, the way they play. Also, they're just so good defensively. I think they'll miss Brogdon, but I don't know how much they miss him in the regular season. I think they miss more of that secondary shot creator in the playoffs. But that's where I think I like Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia is going to come out of the East. They're going to be absolutely – I mean, you've seen their starting lineup. Their shortest guy starting for them is Josh Richardson, who's 6'6 and long and athletic. They're going to be hard to score against. It asks a lot of Ben Simmons. They're going to need some guys to step up and create, but I think that they figure that out well enough. I mean, I think Tobias Harris can do that for them. I think by the end of the season, they're the best team. I think that they're able to get enough offense and play just monster defense, and they're physical, and especially with Joel Embiid inside. I really like that team and the way they're built. And by the way, they're the kind of team that the way they're built, and they're going to be hard to play against whoever ends up coming out of the West. And I think the Warriors actually have, you know, if they get healthy and everything rolls, it could happen to that for them. That's a hard team to play against. They're one of those teams like certain MMA fighters and boxers you just look ugly going against. I think that's going to be Philadelphia.
Kurt, is this a coach's challenge system, is it going to work? Is it even, in your opinion, worth trying this year?
It's worth trying. trying. We'll see how it goes. I'm really curious about the strategy of it because Doc Rivers was talking about this the other day, and the analytics guys are like, no, whenever you've got the best opportunity, like use it when you know you've got something you can do. But if you're a coach, isn't your instinct to like sit on that for the final 6 minutes of it, especially if you think it's going to be a close game?
Keep like, it in the pocket like, until I really need it. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so you only get one, and you don't, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how it gets used. I like the idea of it. I think I like the idea of them being able to toy with it. I'm curious how it's going to go. It's not like the NFL. There's already kind of a break between plays, so somebody in the booth gets a chance to look at that and then yell down to the coach, throw the flag because they've seen it, or don't throw the flag because they've seen it. Except for Gruden, who just throws it anyway.
Right.
I don't know how that's going to work in the NBA where it's a lot faster paced.
Kurt, we really appreciate the time. Thanks a lot for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, Kurt Helin joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
He likes those Mavericks. Really likes those Sixers.
I just don't know how the Sixers are going to shoot it well enough. But they may not have to in an Eastern Conference where, again, I think you could make a case that the top teams, none of them are as good as they were a year ago. Although I do think Boston's going to be better.
You like Boston. That's your sleeper, your dark horse champion, yeah. And mine would be Utah. Though it sounds like maybe there are too many people that are too high on Utah for them to even be a real dark horse.
A lot of people like Utah, though. Mm-hmm. I did read, and I can't remember, I should give credit. I was reading a story just about the whole league and kind of stacking teams up, and the Jazz were starless. They were viewed as a starless team.
But does that matter? Look at the Pistons when they won the championship without any real stars.
Yeah, but it tends to happen once every, I don't know, 20 years. So maybe we're about due.
Wouldn't that be something with the teams fighting, climbing all over each other, hand over fist, trying to add multiple stars of a team without any superstars, won a championship. Oh, that'd be wonderful. I don't think the league would like it. I don't think the TV networks would really be pleased with that, but I'd like to see it.
This year has the potential to be fun for basketball reasons.
Yeah, there's no way the NBA is going to let the Utah Jazz get to the finals. It would be too harmful to TV ratings. So that's not going to happen.
I think a lot of, you know, look, Warriors fans have loved the NBA the last 5-6 years because the Warriors have dominated. And look, they've played just beautiful, brilliant basketball, fun to watch, bunch of good guys doing it too. But you could make a case league-wide to have it be so wide open, the basketball is going to be more important than the other stuff for the first time in a while. Because it's become, because the Warriors are so good and you had maybe one or two other teams that could beat the Warriors, that you just got beat over the head constantly with Warriors versus LeBron, Warriors versus this, what's Durant doing now, who's Draymond, you know, growling at now, is Steph that good? You have all this stuff, but nobody really could touch what the Warriors had. Even though they did lose in the finals twice, now you have a legitimate case to be made for maybe 8 teams being able to win the championship.
Well, we've been talking a lot today about not only the best teams, but the teams that will be the most fun to watch. Zach Lowe at ESPN.com has his 5 top league pass teams.
Yeah.
Have you seen these?
I haven't.
All right. Number 5, this is, you could check the whole list here, of course, if you care to at ESPN.com. Number 5... 5th most watchable team.
Okay.
Denver. Number 4.
Well, they aren't on national TV a lot, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Number 4, the Clippers.
No, but they're going to be on a lot. Okay.
Number 3, the Milwaukee Bucks. Number 2, the Lakers.
That's a lame list. I'm out.
You don't even want to know who's number 1? The number 1 team, the most watchable team.
Number 1 should be for league pass.
Yeah.
I would think Sacramento would be up there, would be on that list, because they're not on national television a lot. To me, part of that list needs to be that you're not on national television a lot.
Anyway. I'm not sure if that's how he tackled it, but it's a fair point. Number 1, he has the aforementioned Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't go top 10 there. We'd have never gotten through it.
Atlanta would be on mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Top, one of the top?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you my 5. Atlanta, Denver.
No, okay, let me just, let's define our terms here.
But I'm going by teams that aren't.
The teams you got to see. League pass or not.
Okay, and I'm going by teams that aren't going to be on national television 30 times.
All right.
Okay. Atlanta. Denver.
Well, Denver is on his list.
Okay,
you got something coming.
Sacramento,
yeah.
Portland, they're just perpetually on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And how many is that? Is that four?
That's four. Atlanta, Denver, Sacramento, Portland, Dallas?
No, they're going to be on a lot.
Okay.
Because of Luka.
So somebody who's not ever going to be on TV, but is
Indiana.
Fun to watch.
Indiana.
Okay. Big Sabonis guy.
Was that a hastily made list?
I don't think your heart was in it.
Was that just was that a defiantly hastily made list?
It sounded like
you can't put the Clippers.
You put your list together the same way John Gruden threw that challenge
the
flag.
The Clippers. Give me his list again.
All right. Again, he has he breaks down the whole league here, but his I'll give you the top seven.
Okay.
Top league pass teams, most watchable, seven Utah, six Dallas.
Utah's in my top five.
All right. And then it goes five Denver, which they're on your list as well, four Clippers, three Milwaukee, two Lakers, and number one Philadelphia.
Philadelphia and the Lakers can't be there.
Okay. You're getting hung up on but you just are putting more weight in the whole league pass aspect of it.
Utah, Portland, and Denver are there. I'm throwing Atlanta on there.
I would put Dallas on there.
And I'll even.
And I don't even like Luka Doncic. He's on my all overrated team, but I really want to watch him and Porzingis play.
That's fair. I'm not going to argue with you if you want to put Dallas on there. I'll put Milwaukee. Yeah, Indiana. I'm gonna stick with Indiana. It's Utah, Portland. Actually, I'm sorry. No. Official list.
Okay, official list.
All right.
Most watchable teams are the most.
It's league pass teams. It's teams that you aren't going to get beat over the head having to watch.
Okay. But that you like watching.
But are fun to watch. They don't have to be good teams necessarily.
Right.
Utah, Portland, not Phoenix. Utah, Portland, Denver, Sacramento, and Atlanta.
Atlanta, number one.
Yeah.
Trae Young.
Well, it might have been reverse order.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no particular order, but those are the five. The five league pass teams, Utah, Portland, Denver, Atlanta, Sac.
You are not a big fan of Zach Lowe's list.
I think it's a trash list. I think it's a trash list because, again, if you are a league pass team, then that means that you're not on national TV 500 times a year. You can't put the Lakers in the Sixers on there.
Apparently, the Sixers repeat as his league pass champion. So apparently, it's 2 years in a row Zach Lowe has had Philadelphia at the top of his list.
New Orleans comes up on the Chilton Autobody text line.
That's a great call right
there.
New
Orleans is a great call, but I think New Orleans, I'll put New Orleans six, but New Orleans is going to be on a lot, actually. On national TV a lot because of Zion Williamson.
Yeah, that's a team that you get league pass for, so you can see every one of his games.
No, there's no question. I'm okay with that. If you want to
and Lonzo to Zion, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And Drew Holiday, who again deserves a space on the all underrated team.
What about your least watchable teams?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, definitely.
Although, see, I like Ayton, but I watch him play and I feel sad when I watch him play because he's so far from what I thought he would be at this point.
Yeah, Phoenix would be a bottom five, least watchable.
Oklahoma City?
Like one of the least watchable. No, Oklahoma City wouldn't make my list.
Orlando?
Phoenix, well, Orlando was a playoff team last year.
I know,
makes me laugh, too.
I would watch, six kids playing 3-on-3 in somebody's driveway I'd watch.
This is a bad list for me. Phoenix for me. Charlotte has to be on that list.
Yeah, no more Kemba, sure.
No, not Memphis. Sure, Memphis would not be on that list. The Knicks.
Ugh.
The Knicks.
Well, I don't know. Even now?
The Knicks are awful. They're an awful watch. Yeah, even now. Let's see.
Plus, if you watch the Knicks quite often, you get
the Wizards,
Mike Green and Walt
Wizards,
Frazier.
The Wizards. Ugh, Wizards. They're on the list.
Bradley Beal?
Gross.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I see, in my opinion, every team. There's something about every team, and there's something cool about even the very worst teams about watching them play. So that to me, I don't have a bottom list.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, watch all the games.
You make a good point about Breen and Frazier.
Yeah. That's a good crew right there, a good tandem.
They are good. And watching games at the Garden, it feels big. So, I might take them off the list.
Even when they suck, it's significant. It's like, wow, the Knicks really suck. That's a thing. Whereas some of the other teams, like if Phoenix sucks, it's like, well, of course they do. They're Phoenix.
Yeah, somebody telling me I missed the point. I'm taking a lot of heat today.
That's all right. I mean, I think you were clear about the way you approached it.
Yeah.
You went in a little different way.
Yeah, it's like there's teams you're going to watch because you can't not watch them. That could actually be another list. The teams you're going to be forced to watch a ton of.
Whether they're on TV a lot or not, can you give us your three teams, the most watchable teams this year? Or three teams that you would consider as the most watchable? Because that's kind of what he's getting at. So forget whether they're on TV a lot or not.
The Clippers.
Yes.
The Clippers I would put at the top of that
list.
I
think the Lakers, too.
Yeah.
At least until we...
How's it going to work?
At least until we're burnt out on, you know... The brow and the brawn.
I might still put the Pelicans in there.
Wow, yeah.
Just because of the unknown. Yeah. As far as just how good can they be. And Zion Williamson. Philly, I guess. I mean, Philly's talented. That's kind of a how's it going to all work type of a team as well.
That's a very good team.
Yeah.
They're going to win the East.
Just do they have enough shooting? Does
it
even matter? And does it even matter? It might not matter.
You can always find shooters, right?
I don't know. I think you always think you can find shooters, and then teams that go hunting for shooters, they find shooters that can't do anything else, and then they can't play those shooters as much as they want to play them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if a team like Utah, fascinating if a team with no superstars were to challenge for a championship, and in this era of all the three-point shooting, it'd be interesting if a team like Philadelphia with... you know, a guy who can't make threes handling the ball if they were to challenge for a championship.
It would be. Again, it's wide open, Whitey. That's the beauty of the 2019-20 season in the NBA is the season itself is
actually. Wide open or is it just we don't know yet who the very best teams
that's
are?
That's fair because the last time everybody thought it was wide open, it wasn't. The Warriors wound
yeah,
up.
Right.
Whoa, where'd they come from?
Right.
Nobody can beat them in 2015. 67, you know, go from a six seed, what, won 47 games to, or 50 games to a team that won 67 in a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that's, but I don't see who that, if there's one team that's that team, what team would it be? Clippers?
We're back to the Clippers.
Yeah. Or it just all clicks and it's just gross.
The clicking Clippers. Paul George, MVP this year. MVP of the regular season and the finals.
5-1-0 Warriors underrated, least watchable. I don't buy that because you have Stephen Curry. As long as Stephen Curry's playing, you're watchable.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's the texter's suggesting they're more watchable than they're getting credit for being right now. I'm down with that, especially if you're a fan because there's so many fascinating things unfolding in Warrior Land right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. All right, hey, Whitey, 4 hours flew by. That's it.
We're done.
Yeah, we got 20 seconds. Good stuff.
I'll see you tomorrow morning then.
Tomorrow morning.
Let's get back together tomorrow morning. You'll be in LA.
Tomorrow morning I'll be in LA. I'm headed for Niners Rams and you'll be in studio and we'll do it again, but we'll broaden our horizons. We'll talk some football.
I look forward to it.
Thank you. That's going to do it for Bobby and for Ryan. It's Coz and Herbs. They're next here, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.